started.
Hi, it's Diane. Who's on?
Hi, Diane.
Hi.
I see Teresa, I see Paulette, and I see two other people I don't know who it is. One in 952 area code, who's that?
That is me, Paulette, also. I'm calling in. I'm usually going on Thursday night, but I couldn't make it to Thursday night, so.
No. But so, yes, I see Paulette. But who's in 952 area code?
That's me, too. I've called in twice because I haven't been able to. So I hung up on the 651, and so I'm calling in on the 952. It hasn't been working, and now it worked. So that's
okay,
me, too. I have a couple numbers.
Got it. Thank you. I was like, wait, no. And then there's
a
one
couple
other
numbers.
I see that doesn't have, that's not showing up without caller ID. Who's joined?
That might be me, Lori.
Hi, Lori. Nice to have you today. So I guess I should say this is Tuesday because I had turned the recording on. Tuesday, October 7th at 12 p.m. group. So we'll get started in just a minute, guys. Thanks so much for being on time. Appreciate that.
Sure.
Did you say Lori or Laura? Is it Laura K? Lori K?
Lori K.
Yep, okay. That's what I thought. I want to make sure I have the right person. There's more than one Lori in our group.
Yes, I was missing last week because of the holidays, but I actually just finished listening to last week's recording, so I'm ready to go.
I'm glad you found it. That's awesome. Well, let's get going. I want to honor you guys' time. You are on time. You get the gold stars. Other folks will hopefully join us. If not, we'll have a small group today. You never know what these groups, whether we'll have 12 on the call or 3 or what. So you never know with people's schedules and school and everything else. So let's start. Just as a reminder, we do start with a check-in. So last time we talked about self-care. So I'm curious as to how things went for you and what you noticed. Just to kind of, why don't you guys quickly just do a check-in for me. Teresa, you want to go first?
Okay. This is not my normal group. I'm usually in the Thursday, I think 1 o'clock group, but I can't make that one this week. But so my group may have talked about different things than this one, but basically we just talked about kind of making yourself a priority, and I think I do a really good job of that. I mean, I've had several lunches out with friends, and I make time almost every day to exercise, and so I'm just trying to keep that up and, you know, just trying to make myself at least for maybe 30 minutes to an hour every day a priority.
That's awesome. Congratulations for doing that. That's hard work, I know. And we have the same topic in every group, but sometimes the groups go in a little bit of a different direction, but the general theme of taking care of yourself was the same. So I just see that Ellen and Anne both joined us. Hi, it's Diane. Glad you're
Hello.
Here. And I'm just kind of calling on everybody and seeing how the last week went. The last 2 weeks we've been doing self-care and just kind of having people report back on how things have been going since the last time we called. So, Paulette, what about you?
I focus on, I take dance, so I've sometimes I feel guilty that I took it, take it or something, but I excuse me, tried not to, and just taking the time to like run errands and going to church, taking care of myself and doing that, and it's okay to do that, and I know it is in my head, but you know, and it's making the time for yourself. That's I think an important thing to learn from this. And cooking what I like, because I'm so used to thinking, oh, what is she like, or what is, you know, my husband like, you know, and like, well, I can cook something that I like, you know, not that I never do, but you know, that's
yep. Great. Lori, what about you? How have things been going the last couple weeks?
It was interesting because I almost didn't call in today because of all of my obligations. And after listening to last week's call, I said, you know what, there's self-care. Have to call.
Good for you.
Knowingly what the topic had been last week, I've started walking a lot, and I've been wearing like a fitness monitor, which like tracks how much you've walked and your sleep patterns, and it's making me really aware how the stress has been disrupting my sleep and how tired I am. So the prompts in the app are really forcing me to take care of myself.
That's fabulous. Good job. Ellen, what about you? How have things been going the last couple weeks?
Still from a self-care perspective, I've been pretty good about doing some things that I really enjoy and not, and the other caller not focusing on the guilt about being gone for a couple hours. I think I'm getting better at it, but I think it's going to be a long process, not to feel guilty about it, but I have enjoyed trying to go out to some more festivals and art fairs and things like that.
Great. So what do you need to tell yourself to let go of the guilt?
That if I'm a happier, healthier person, then my kids will be happier, healthier as well. So there's a benefit if this is important, not just for me, but for them.
And how willing are you to believe that on a scale of 0 to 10?
I'd say actually, you know, it's probably about a 9. I truly do believe that your kids see how you're feeling. And if you're feeling happy, they notice that. If you're miserable all the time, I really do think that's just, you know, how people should be or are. So I really do believe it's important.
Great. Anne, how about you? How have things been going?
Well, I'm in kind of an odd time because I'm recovering from some pretty major surgery. So I was doing better walking the first week than I have been in this past week, but I've also been struggling to sort of deal with the pain then. So, but I really need to email my surgeon, so you guys have reminded me of that. you know, because it's the suffering thing, right? I have a high pain threshold, and it sort of fits into this. It says, oh, I don't need pain meds because those are weakness. It's like a meta conversation about what we're talking about here, because I actually do need to keep the pain under control, because then I don't sleep, and you know, it all feeds back in. But I did read 2 paperbacks, which is amazing, because I was a lit major and I haven't read anything in forever, so I'm counting that as a victory. Guilt-free.
No, I think it's awesome. I think you guys have done great these last couple of weeks, so we have a lot to celebrate as a group, so congratulations to everybody. Good job. So we're going to move on to the next topic, and I'm sure, you know, even though you were focusing on self-care the last couple weeks, that life hasn't stopped, and you've had all the same and some new challenges with your kids. But, you know, take a minute, like we do at the beginning of the call, and get really clear on what you're going to take aim on. I think we put that in the email on Monday. Get really specific and make a note to yourself. If you're having a hard time figuring out how to get really specific on your area, you know, pipe up, let me know. But the goal here is to not just say homework, but you want to say getting my child to remember to capture, putting a structure in place to help them to capture the information that they need to do for their assignments or whatever it is as a subset. You don't want to just say one big area you want to get as specific as you can. Does anybody need help figuring out what they're going to take aim on? And we don't need to report back, but if anybody needs help, I'm happy to help you dig in.
I want to let go of my daughter with the homework. I really do. And I find that every time I let go and step back, she takes that as the prompt to not do anything. But yet it leads to fighting if I am constantly on her.
So what it sounds like, that was Lori, yes?
Yes, I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. So, Lori, what it sounds like is what you want to take aim on is how to balance taking a little bit less responsibility but helping her to be successful, right? So it's that in between. Unfortunately, we can't just kind of let go and let them do it typically. It's about, we talk about building scaffolding up around them, and then you start to take the scaffolding away step by step by step. And so what it sounds
and
like.
And unfortunately, we're in a unique, we have a unique challenge because they are learning on iPads all day. So the distraction of the internet is always there. And are you doing your homework? Yeah. Well, who knows what you're doing?
Yeah, I have the
okay,
same.
So it sounds like what you might want to take aim on is how to help her to be successful in handling her homework and use a technological using technology, which is really common because my kids use the computer too, and it's kind of like, how do I make sure that they're not on YouTube when they're trying to do their homework? Hi, who just joined us from area code 661? Somebody just joined?
I just joined. This is Harvey. But
hey,
I'm
Harvey.
Area code 802. I don't know why it's coming up 661.
It's weird, Harvey. I'm glad you joined us. So
okay.
Everybody's taking aim on something, Harvey, and so just take a minute and get real specific on what you're going to take aim on. You don't need to share with a group, but I just wanted everybody to take a minute and take aim before I jump into our topic, which is, for this week, activating the brain. And I'm really excited about this because we're now at the point we're going to start digging into our four critical response areas. If you go back to, I think it's on page 5 of the workbook, you can see that from a process perspective, we're going to, you know, we acknowledge that there's 6 different challenge areas. We're going to take aim on one of those challenge areas, and we're going to educate ourselves. And when we're talking about this area, we're educating ourselves on what's going on from a neurobiological perspective in the brain, because the plan, what we're going to plan to do is something around activating the brain, and then we're going to take action. So if you have background noise, if you could just put yourself on mute if you know how to do that. If you don't know how to do that, let me know. But we've got a fairly large group, so I'm going to try to call on folks to get feedback. But if you do want to make a comment, feel free to chime in. As I go through this. So activating the brain. The reason this is important is that ADHD is a neurobiological condition. And there are really 3 things that activating the brain does. Number one, it helps our brain work really well. And it's true for anybody, whether or not you're ADD or not. If you are working on a full night's sleep, on a full stomach, with some exercise, and time to relax, the majority of us, our brain works better. We're able to problem solve. We're less likely to get thrown into a threat mode and be, you know, have our buttons pressed. It enables us to regulate our mood so that we're more stable and less kind of up and down with a roller coaster with moods. And then if you happen to have the ADD, it also activating the brain counteracts the neurobiological challenges of ADHD. And so what the workbook did this week, and hopefully you guys all had a chance to kind of read through it before our call today, is really walks you through what executive function is and the challenges of executive function. And the model we use is from Dr. Tom Brown, great, great guy, but really talks about the 6 areas of executive function: activation, focus, effort, emotion, memory, and action. And what happens in the ADHD variant is that most individuals with ADD have a challenge in some of these six areas. Some of them, all of the six areas. It just depends on the person. And so activating the brain is important because it will help you to be able to focus. And it doesn't fix the executive function challenges, but what it does is that if an individual is able to focus, they're more able to manage their executive function. So the executive function sits in the frontal lobe of the brain. I'm going to pretend to be a scientist and know what I'm talking about here for a second, so forgive me. But it's like the orchestra, the conductor of an orchestra. It's the part of our brain that tells us what to do and when to do it. So it's the part of the brain that says, oh, wow, the house needs to be cleaned. I need to do it now before our company comes tonight. So it's that part that says, I know what I need to do, and I'm going to help you get it done. And it really is the part that kind of organizes everything that goes on in the brain. Well, in the ADD brain, two things happen. One is that part of the brain is a little bit smaller, and the second thing is that the amount of hormones and activity in the front of that brain is reduced. And so activating the brain, and, you know, there's lots of different ways to do that, is really a way to stimulate the part of your brain that tells you what you need to do and when you need to do it. And so we talk about things like getting enough exercise, getting enough sleep. If your child happens to be on medication, that is something that activates the brain. If you drink a cup of coffee in the morning, and even if you're not an ADDer, that's something that you might use to activate the brain. It stimulates the brain. And so the point is that if your child is having a challenge, so, for example, homework after school is often a challenge for a couple reasons. One is because our kids are usually worn out at the end of the day. They've been holding it all together. They've been managing their executive function all day, and so that they can be worn out and exhausted and tend to be less compliant and more emotional after school. They might be hungry, you know, by the end of the day. They might, if they're on medication, the medication might be wearing off. They might need some exercise. So if you start with activating the brain, if you're having challenges with homework after school, and you start with activating the brain, it might be, okay, we're going to have a snack in the afternoon before we do homework. Or we're going to go out and go for, you know, play some games outside and get some exercise and ride our bike or go for a run or play basketball or whatever it is to activate our brain before we start into homework. But so what you're really doing in this with this particular area of focus is saying, how can I help the brain to work more efficiently, specifically my child's ADD brain that has a difficult time with executive function, in order to help them with a challenge? So what comes up for all of you as we talk about this idea of activating the brain?
So this is Ellen. I have an older child. He's almost six. He'll be 16 tomorrow. And I think all those things play into it. And he's, you know, the fact that he's on medication, it's wearing off. Medication affects his appetite, so he doesn't want to eat. He's not a big sports person, so he comes home and he just wants to vegetate.
Right.
But I keep telling him, take, you know, 30 minutes, but then what I'm having trouble is convincing him that having some protein or going out for a walk will all help make him feel better.
Mm-hmm.
And
so that makes sense. So there's kind of two ways to approach that, Ellen. One is to kind of highlight it when you notice it. You know, so if he does really well on a task right after breakfast, you know, to say, wow, I noticed you did that really well. What do you think was different? And he said, I don't know. And they say, well, I wonder, you just had breakfast, you had some eggs and bacon, whatever it is. I wonder whether that might have made a difference. The research has shown that, you know, if you have enough protein, blah, blah, blah. I mean, particularly with older kids, you can do something specifically around education. The other thing that can be successful is to set up a house rule and to say that everybody needs to, like at our house, everybody has to have protein at breakfast. Everybody, you know, we if I notice that people are worn out, we will take a break and say, let's go for a walk, let's go do something from an exercise perspective. But taking care of your brain is one of the house rules at our house. And that means understanding what it needs and doing something about it. Does that resonate with you?
Yeah.
What comes up for anybody else?
This is Anne. I struggle with, do these kids need to be, like, activated all the time? In other words, I sort of feel like a break is a good thing if you need the break. And so I struggle with when, you know, how much is too much? And are we being unreasonable with the homework's got to be done and the chores have got to be done and, you know, then it's time to play.
Hmm. So you're talking about something else, which is more about the amount of responsibility they have and whether just having some rest and relaxation is important for their brain as well.
Well, sort of, but also like is the if they're in a down time, is there a reason for that? And is like trying to get it turned back on, are we just asking too much? So, but every time I hear about you need to activate the brain, I'm like, God, these kids are activated 24/7, it feels like. I mean, unless they're in a dead sleep.
No, that's a great point, which is, you know, how do you figure out how, because honestly, part of activating the brain is making sure your brain has enough rest. And so if our kids are constantly going from school to after school activity to homework to bed, and a lot of our kids are going a million miles an hour with stuff, you know, when do they have that relaxation time? You're right. So part of brain health is downtime. And so making sure your child has time to unwind. My kids typically will spend, you know, about 30 minutes doing whatever they want to do. And then if they need to, and then they'll jump into their homework. And if they have a hard time with their homework, then I'll suggest brain health. Get some exercise, get something else. So it's not so much that it's more of a, if you know that there's a challenge going on, activating the brain can be a solution to help you, a lever that you use, a tool that you pull out
just
to say.
Fears. Yeah.
It's also, we talked about sugars. I think we talked about triggers a little bit last time in this group. It's, if you know that one of your child's triggers is a certain time of day because they're really hungry, and like somebody just mentioned, it's, you know, their medication wears off and they haven't eaten much for lunch, and so they're usually starving by the time they get home from school. You might just say, okay, go get something to eat and chill out for 30 minutes and or whatever. But, you know, so there might be things that you compromise, you use as a tool, and other things that you have as a rule. This is a matter of kind of what makes the most sense for your house. What's up for anybody else?
I have something that I would kind of like some input on, and it kind of goes along with the coming home from school and, you know, giving them a break before they start homework. My 13-year-old, they get out of school at 4, but his bus ride is so long, he doesn't get home until 10 of 5. And then when he gets home, of course, he wants a break, and, you know, and he doesn't count the bus as a break because he says he doesn't really have any friends on the bus. He hates riding the bus, but for me to pick him up is not really an option because I have 3 other kids, and, you know, one of them gets home from school in the time that I would have to be gone, and she's not old enough to be home by herself. And anyways, but then we also have the whole medicine issue because his medicine – you know, it starts to wear off around the time that he is getting home. And so I'm trying to manage, like, giving him the break he needs, but then getting him at least started on homework when he still has medicine in his system. And he usually is not hungry when he gets home because of the medicine. He usually doesn't get hungry until about 8 o'clock at night. And so trying to get him to eat is hard. And, you know, I can make a house rule. We can try that. But I'm just curious if anyone has any suggestions for how to handle that.
Hi, this is Lori. I was actually wondering, did you ever, if he's not, he's saying he has no friends on the bus, so it's not a social situation, would he be willing to start a homework assignment on the bus? So maybe he's got a jump start.
We talked about that, but he says that he gets nauseous when he tries to read or do anything on the bus, and he does have a tendency to get sick, which he gets from me.
Yeah, so, you don't want that.
Yeah, so that we have definitely talked about that because he's on the bus for like 40 minutes, and you know, that would be a great time to knock out homework, but you know, if it makes him sick, then that is not,
no, yeah, not a good idea.
Great. Anybody else have an idea for Teresa?
So I love what you're doing in terms of kind of letting him drive and letting him, you know, voice his preferences. It surprises me that he's not hungry until 8 o'clock at night. And I don't know whether you've had his medication checked to make sure that it's at the right level of intensity. I've had a couple of clients who have said once their kid got to age 13 that they had to go back and make an adjustment in their medication, and so they were doing, like, 2 doses a day. So they do his medication in the morning. They'd come home, the medication would be worn out, they'd get a snack or an early dinner, and then they'd take medication again for 4 hours, you know, from 6 until 10, and then they go to bed at 10. Now, a lot of times at 13, your kids, you don't want your kids staying up till 10, so it's kind of this balancing act here in the middle. But I'm wondering whether doing something else for brain activation after dinner, like going for a run, or even when my son was younger, he would, you know, he would have caffeine, you know, just a little bit would be enough to kind of get him over the hump of a really complex homework assignment.
Does so that's caffeine, something else. Because we have the issue of sleep as well. He takes the Daytrona patch. So basically, he wears the patch for 9 hours, and then the medicine stays in his system about 2 hours after that. And we have to give him 10 milligrams of Ritalin in the morning before he goes to school because over time the Daytrona has reached the point where instead of just taking like 45 minutes to an hour to kick in, it was taking 2 hours, and then we were having issues in his first period class.
Yeah.
So I would really not, I mean, he only weighs 80 pounds, so I think 40 milligrams of stimulant a day is plenty. Like, that's my max.
Yeah,
I wanted to have.
Yeah.
But I'm worried about that because the Daytrona, even though it leaves his system in terms of focus, he sometimes is up pretty late because he has a hard time. And I'm not sure if it's the medicine or if it's the ADD brain. And so I'm always hesitant to let him have caffeine. I mean, I guess we could try it because there's no harm in trying it if he's already up until 11:30 or 12 at night. But I'm just kind of curious if anyone else has, or in your experience, the caffeine, if you give them the caffeine, say, after dinner, do they have trouble falling asleep or no?
Yeah, so what I would suggest is, one is have a conversation with whoever was the prescribing physician about kind of managing the patch. And, you know, because you've already got the Ritalin in the morning, and just kind of honoring your value for how much of the day you really want him to be on medication. And then I would look at, you know, other opportunities to activate his brain besides the medication and just experiment and see what works. And if, you know, if caffeine is something that does work or doesn't work, you know, do it in a safe environment to test it.
And I agree with you. This is Lori. On the onset of adolescence, we found that it was a whole new visit to the medication.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So 13 is that magic age when it's time to go back often and visit.
Yes, it was a whole new adjustment period. It's like throw the hormones into the mix and.
Yeah. See, we just went for his med check last week, and all the teachers. I mean, he's in school. He's doing great. So it's just that at home time, and I guess maybe we're in a new phase because he's junior high, because before it was really school was our main concern. We just wanted him to get through school to be able to sit in class and to do the learning and whatever. You know, and it's just that, of course, the amount of homework is insane. I think it's crazy to ask a 13-year-old to do as much homework as they're asked to do, and that's where, you know, we're running into just the issues. But, you know, we'll try the caffeine and see if that works. And, I mean, he definitely does take active breaks. I mean, we do the breaks, and I, you know, we try to do that at where he's, you know, active doing something while he's on his break. But
yeah. Well, so a couple things. I mean, so I would encourage you, we've got several webinars out on the website specifically about medication. Dr.
Mm-hmm.
Charles Parker, Lori Dupar, both of them have done webinars for us on medication. Would encourage you to go and talk to your prescribing provider about, you know, the evenings and how to handle it. And then the other thing that it just kind of plants a seed, I mean, if all else fails, it might be time to go have a conversation with the teachers about an accommodation. And so if there's a particularly long assignment and he's ending up having a difficult time completing it in one night, it might be, you know, getting an accommodation to turn his homework late so he has an extra night to spread out a particularly long assignment. I've had permission from teachers at times to say, okay, this is a really intense project. Let us have an extra weekend to work on it to make sure that it's done when he's awake and has energy, those kinds of things. So it might be also a reach back to the school in terms of helping get some support to manage his homework.
Okay. Okay, thank
so
you.
No problem. Other thoughts on activating the brain? What about you? I think a few of you might be ADD yourselves. What do you notice about your own brain, and what kinds of things work to help you to focus and pay attention? Sometimes it's helpful for those of us who are not ADD to hear from those of you who are, gives us a different appreciation for our kids. I can't believe we don't have any ADDers on this call.
I was going to say, this is Lori. I know as a non-ADDer, I ask women I know that have ADD all the time, please explain this to me, because I watch my husband and I don't feel that his coping mechanisms or whatever he needs to do are well adapted. So I'm always looking for strategies from adults that could possibly help my daughter.
Yes. I agree 100%. So is there anybody on here who's willing to say, yes, that's me, I'm an ADD adult, or I think I might be? No. Oh, how did we end up with a bunch of non-ADDers in this?
Well, I just call it.
I'm one. I'm so ADD, I couldn't figure out my phone to get it off of mute.
There we go. Okay.
Seriously in the air. I've been tested, but I've got a unique situation. I had a car accident and a traumatic brain injury, which left me with ADD-like executive function. So it's not organic. It was from an event, but in our family, my daughter is definitely my daughter. Yeah, because dad's got more of the movement stuff. He doesn't sit still well, but in terms of thinking patterns, yeah. My daughter comes by it pretty honestly.
So, Anne, are there things that you've found, in terms of activating your own brain?
Well, you know, in the past year, what we did, and I am a born night person. Everyone in our family, except for our youngest daughter, who is completely not ADD, she's our outlier. She's a morning person, but the rest of us are all definitely night people. But we have shifted the entire family's sleep schedule so that we're basically in bed by 9 o'clock and everyone is getting up at 5:30, partly in order to make sure that our eldest daughter gets out the door and makes the bus because she's in high school and they start crazy early. And that has really helped, and we don't really change it on the weekend. We'll maybe sleep in an extra hour, but it has helped everyone so much, and I'm not a morning person, but over time we've seen the benefit.
Yeah. Well, I think that that's part of it, is kind of noticing and paying attention to your child's cycles, to your own cycles, and responding to those. And I think that that's the piece of it, is that, you know, as parents,
the first thing that we can do is to notice that for ourselves and to talk about it. So it's kind of like for me, when I get really tired, I get grumpy. If I get really hungry, I get very grumpy. And so I tend to externalize that and say to my kids, well, wait a second, let me get something to eat before we have this conversation. I'm not going to be my best self until I've got some food in my stomach. Or, you know, let's talk about this in the morning. I'm really tired. Let's make a date to talk about this tomorrow. So the first thing is to be transparent about your own self. The second thing is to be a mirror for your kids. And so to gently and calmly tell them what you see and say, wow, you worked so much faster on your assignment after you had that snack. Did you notice how much more energy you had? Or, you know, yesterday you worked on that assignment before dinner. Today you worked on an assignment after dinner. Here's what I saw that was different. You know, so you begin to educate them and tell them what you notice about them. And then the third step is to begin to help them to say, well, what do you think was going on? You know, our kids in this group, we've got, you know, middle school, high school age kids. You can begin to start coaching them and asking them questions about, you know, well, what did you notice when you tried to get your homework done tonight and you had a hard time? Well, I was really kind of tired. Okay, that's good to know. So what can you do to try to find a time of day when you're not so tired to finish your homework? Well, maybe I need to start earlier. Okay. So it's those steps where you're sharing what's going on with you, you're observing what's going on with them, and then you're asking them questions about what's going on with them.
How do you implement that when in the moment they agree, but then when you're back there again, they won't, I hate to use the word comply, but go with what works?
Yeah, you know, and I think it's hard because I think that they need to stumble a few times. And often what I'll encourage parents to do is to say, okay, you ask the kid, what do you want to do? And if they make a commitment to doing it, then you ask them to hold themselves to the commitment. If they're like, yeah, I'll try it, whatever, mom, which is usually what they say, right? Then you let them stumble a few times and you say, okay, you know, next time, you know, I suggested this 2 weeks ago. You kind of went, yeah, mom, and you're still having challenges. I'm happy to do it your way if you come up with a way, but if you don't find a way that works for you, I'm going to ask you by, you know, 2 days from now to do it the way that I'm suggesting. You know, so it's the blog I wrote is called, I think, Everybody Has to Have a Plan. And so my rule is you can do it your way, but you have to be able to articulate to me what you're going to do, and you need to demonstrate to me that it works. And if it doesn't, then I'm gonna give you a warning sign and say, hey, I don't think your plan is working, and if you can't make an adjustment to it to make it work, you're gonna have to follow my plan because you need to have something in place. Does that help?
That does help.
It's hard with these older kids. It's hard because they want to run their own lives, and I think they can.
Yeah.
And sometimes they're really good at it. Sometimes they're better than you are at knowing what's, quote-unquote, good for them. But other times, they're just not.
The challenge I find when you have an ADD spouse who is kind of like, well, look at me, and I did fine, is to give her that complete space. And I think you struggled your whole life. I'm trying to help her not struggle as much, and it becomes a terrible parental battle that she becomes a victim of, and it's a terrible dynamic because she's an only child as well.
So it's really difficult when you're co-parenting with somebody and you're not on the same page. So
not at all.
What does the conversation with your husband sound like to try to get him on board, Lori?
There's been plenty of professional intervention, and he views it as me policing her and making her feel poorly about herself. And, you know, you can't help but wonder, you know, what's being identified with. And he just wants me to have a complete hands-off approach.
That's how my husband is, the same way.
And when I've gone hands-off, it hasn't gone very long.
Right.
She stumbles pretty hard, pretty fast. And then when she does, she feels badly and the depression kicks in. So it's a vicious cycle.
So Ellen, was that you that said you have the same challenge?
Yes, I have very similar. I have a husband with ADHD and hopefully I'm controlling. And I really have backed off a lot, but I do have to monitor it because he has, been close to failing several classes.
Yeah. Well, and so here's the piece of this is I don't know whether it will work with your spouses, but what Elaine would tell you is that when she started doing the program, right? So when she started using this coach approach, and her husband started seeing that it worked, he went, "Oh, wait, okay, that might make sense." And so what I would encourage all you guys, and my guess is based on what you just said, is that there's, as we talk about this continuum of support, a lot of us, when we get to the point where we're seeking help, it's because we're getting more support than we want to. And so I wonder if you communicate with your spouse about the fact that your goal is to begin to let go of the support, but to do it in a more organized and systematic fashion, which will set your child up for success, because that's really what you're doing. It's that you're not going to just say, okay, fine, you're on your own, which is a pretty sort of, victim sort of thing. Well, forget you, you're on your own, figure it out. I mean, you really want to ease off and you want to help them become more independent, and you're going to do that by gradually holding them more and more and more accountable. And so I wonder whether a conversation with your spouse to say, yes, I want them to be able to do it on their own. It's clear that they can't right now. So let's work together to find a way to gradually hold them accountable over time. And I don't know whether that resonates for any of you, but I think this it's difficult if your spouse doesn't get it. What I would encourage you to do is figure out what you want to do, figure out how to stay in, in relationship with your, alliance with your spouse. And, there's going to be a value conflict here because we all want to be on the same page with our spouses, but we want to help our kids. And so if you feel a conflict there, it makes it really tough. And if anybody wants to, we've done this before. I've got one of my clients, we're going to do a one-on-one session with her husband and myself, kind of really help her to share with him, to feel that she could share with him differently if there was somebody else on the phone. And I just throw that out there so that if somebody feels like, wow, it might be worth having a third party help us with a conversation. Lori, it sounds like you've already done some intervention, but Ellen, that might be of help to you.
Okay.
All right, so we've got a few minutes here. Is there anybody who needs, I would take a volunteer to do some laser coaching? Either around activating the brain or not around activating the brain.
But could you say the question part of that again?
So the question is, does anybody want to volunteer to do some laser coaching? We've got about 5 minutes to do a mini coaching session with someone. Everything's going great for everybody?
No. I'm trying to find aim on that one area.
Take aim.
I think I need to figure out that systematic approach to let it go. That's really going to be key for me.
Okay, Lori, so tell me a little bit more about what's going on.
The iPads were a terrible, they were great because I've never had to go back to school again for a book. They've been a terrible distraction. My hand's been forced. I've had to shut the internet down on her, put restrictions on it. I feel like I'm completely policing her, but it's almost become an electronic addiction. Anytime she has it, she can't stop. And
how old is she, Lori?
She's 14. And the that's the academic model where we are. That is private school, public school, wherever. That is, you know, and so my husband disagrees with that as well.
Yeah, so let me ask a couple questions. So does your daughter respond better to rewards or consequences?
Therein lies the dilemma. She responds to neither. Consequence only gets the temper going, and the reward and the praise minimal at best.
Okay.
She's never had to work for school before the last 2 years. She's academically gifted, and we're fortunate in that regard, but once she had to start working for it, she started shutting down.
Yeah. So she's probably motivated by success, and if she's challenged, what she does is just say, why should I bother if I'm not good at it? And this is a pretty common perspective even in teens. It's like, if I'm not great at it, I'm not going to bother to do it.
Yeah.
So get specific. Let's get really specific. What is going on with the iPad? She needs it for school, and instead of using it for school, she's doing something she's not supposed to?
Right. So when we go ahead and we remove the apps and anything she can play on, she'll tell me she's completed an assignment to turn around later to find out she never actually completed it. She was sitting there either doodling on it or writing a poem or creative, you know, which is fabulous, but she's just not getting it done.
So,
and there's no such thing as homework modifications here. They won't modify homework.
Well, that makes sense. So the reality is that she needs more policing because she's when you send her off on her own. So this is my barometer. It's kind of like if you ask them to do it independently and they're unable to be successful, they need more support. Right? So you're asking her to do it on her own. She's doodling or she's having a difficult time staying on task. So what would a step, this is going to seem counterintuitive, Lori, but if you were going to take a step closer to supporting her, how would you support her?
A step closer to supporting her?
Yeah, so she's not able to do it independently.
I have offered to sit with her. I've offered homework tutors. I've offered to help break it down. Do you want me to type for you? You can, you know, what would help you?
Stop for a second. So my guess is that at 14, she doesn't know what would be helpful for her, and she's going to tell you nothing would be helpful for her because she's a teen, right?
Yeah.
So but what if you gave her three choices, and you said, here are three choices. You can either... You know, and I don't know what they are. You just suggested several of them, but you say you need to pick one. You know, either you need to sit with me and do your homework, or I need to give you a tutor, or you need to be in a common area when you do your homework. You know, so you're giving her the choice, but you're not asking her what you should do, which is the step, that's what I was just talking about, the step closer. If your child can't articulate, this is the help I need, you suggest several options of help, and then you let them choose because it helps them to feel more independent. Does that make sense? You're looking for the step closer.
Yes, I actually said to her recently, let's make that the goal for October. You ask for help.
Right. Well, and it may be that she doesn't know what help is. And so usually when our kids don't say anything, it's a lot of times because they don't know. And it's not cool to not know. Right.
Well, she's embarrassed to ask for help because she's used to being the best and the brightest, and all of a sudden she's not. Well, she is, but you know what I mean. It's just.
Yep. So how could you help her to feel more comfortable accepting help, Lori?
I'm not sure that's the challenge because she won't take the help until her back is up against a wall and she's in crunch time and it's midnight and she's three nights behind in homework.
Right. So what that means is that your daughter is motivated by urgency. That's what motivates your daughter.
Okay.
So then for a lot of people, and I don't know
Ann's our resident ABDer, but for a lot of people, what you can do is you can make things more urgent. And so you can do that by saying, if an assignment is done and complete, you know, so if she's going over with you every day, here's my assignment. It sounds like she cannot monitor completion on her own, that you need to check them, right? Because you said that she'll say it's done, but it's not. And so that means
you need to
visually see it to be able to witness and see that it's done, or have a process on the back end to check. But I'm wondering whether you could, you know, create some incentive for her if you've got all the apps removed. And I don't know, what a lot of times people do is, like, we have one play iPad and we have one homework iPad.
That is the current reward system in place. Get it all done, and then here's the laptop.
Yeah, and we do that too. So it's like, you know, and I've had other parents who will have, like, one login that the kids use just for homework. They have another login that they use for fun stuff, so that you can't get to YouTube, you can't get to a few other places on the login, and they have to show you their homework, that it's completed and checked off or whatever else it is in order to get to that other laptop.
So checking the completed homework is not – see, my husband says that that's further policing, and I just feel like, well, she says all the time, yep, I'm done, and she's really not.
Oh, you know, this is Anne. Well, it's so essential to get that done. I've got a 14-year-old daughter, and you could have been describing mine a year ago. Once we got her treated for depression – this year, she's actually, like, excited about doing homework and doing well again. She doesn't feel like she's such a loser anymore. And she's GTLD. It's the same scenario. But I instituted a saying that it's not done until it's turned in, because it's that last step that always kills her. And she'll still lie to us and tell us things are done, because in her head she wants them to be done. It's like back when they were preschoolers, and it's wishful thinking, you know.
Yep.
It comes back again. And so much about this today has been like, oh, my God, I used to do that when she was a toddler. You know,
that was when you said about the choices. I used to say, do you want to wear the red outfit or the green outfit?
Yeah, exactly. It's very similar.
And I see two kids who are fighting over the same shovel. How can we solve this? I'm just going, oh, my God. Flashback. But, you know, maybe there's something there, and we just do, as parents, have to remember that we're still in the sandbox. It's just bigger with shorter skirts, and, you know.
I have a son who's done the same thing. He'll say it's complete, and then I'll get a homework report. Because of the electronic world, they have to submit so much stuff electronically, they don't actually have a hard copy. So I've run into, how do I know if it's done? Because he can show me something online, but if he doesn't actually submit it, which I can't tell,
yeah.
I run
well,
into
Well, I'm the so most there, parent ever, and I just started emailing teachers. I mean, because trust but verify, right? You tell the kid that you think that they're on top of it, and I believe you, but I just need to check. Or you need to email the teacher and CC me so that I know this is really happening. And that's part of your job, because this is your job now, is proving to us that you can do your job.
So I'm going to go back to, Lori, and we're going to wrap up. But, you know, Lori, the challenge here is that you've got this, your husband's voice in your head, and you're going to have to figure out, how can you honor your relationship with your husband and continue to support your daughter. And it's hard because there's a trade-off.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I appreciate what he's saying, but as someone who's struggled with turning stuff in my whole life, like, it is not a fun path. And, yeah, I'm really successful on paper, but it's been very hard. And I think anyone who's honest would want to make it less hard for their kids, or to, like, sort of give them the advantage of your experience. So he may not be willing to say that, but he's probably feeling it at some level.
I think for him the struggle, his diagnosis came when she was diagnosed, so he spent a lifetime of basically, you're lazy, you're not, you know, applying yourself.
Right.
So it's almost like he felt vindicated on her diagnosis, and it'll go to all extents to not let her feel badly or that anything I'm doing is making her feel badly by calling her out on it. And it's more about her feeling good emotionally than her getting it all done.
Yeah, but nothing feels worse for a smart kid than having a bad report card and knowing and putting the stupid people are getting ahead of her. Right.
So I'm going to, so I'm going to just kind of reframe what Dan just said, because I think that that's important, which is that your goal here is to help your daughter feel good about herself. And that's your goal. And so if you can continue to make that your primary goal, and the secondary goal is about helping her get, you know, be successful in school, which is what's going to help her to feel good about herself, the two of those together really do add up to a win-win.
Yes, time to boost the confidence.
Yep, exactly, exactly. So let's do our wrap up. We've got about 4 minutes here, so just quickly on page 16 is where our wrap up is. So we ask four questions at the end of every call. You know, what did I focus on? What did I pay most attention to in the call today? What was the brightest? What was the most kind of wow? That's really interesting. For you today? And then what was your takeaway? What became clear as you focused on that? What does that mean in terms of action for yourself? And how do you set yourself up for success? So take a minute and jot down a few notes. Spend some more time offline, but interested in hearing from you guys. Maybe what was a big, what was your aha from today, and what are you going to, what action step are you going to take in terms of activating the brain or your challenge area? Ellen, what about you? What was your takeaway?
So I think my aha is, which is partially why I joined this, there are a lot of other people going through the same issues with the technology and homework that I've been dealing with my son. So I think the conversation about, because I have sort of said, you know, what can I do to help? And he's like the other kids, doesn't think he needs any help. So really giving him a choice of three options whenever he gets a homework report, and to maintain that until he, you know, can show me he doesn't get any homework report. Forget the other. So I've been giving him a reward system. If he doesn't get a homework report for a week, he'll make $5, because he tends to be at that age where he wants to make his own money. We haven't had a week yet, but I'm hopeful that this is the first week. And if he doesn't, then I'm going to implement the choices of, you know, sitting down with him or having him hand it to me.
Great. Great. Okay. What about anybody else? Paulette, what about you?
Well, I've been listening a lot to, you know, my daughter's a senior now, and we've been through quite a bit, and I didn't know that this group existed before this, but she has depression, and when I heard that, you know, once it started treating depression, that it got better with from that one person who shared it, that has happened this year, so we're doing really, really well with her homework right now, but I guess, you know, it's important to keep checking in with her, because I'm not going to let it go. I'm not going to just, you know, my husband disagreed with everything I did. And, you know, I did damage her with what I've done, you know, but checking in too much. And, but I think it's how I do it, and sharing how I feel, like I'm too tired or too hungry, and asking her what she thinks helped. So I think this, and she can actually, if she gets bored, I mean, she's telling me how she feels and saying, "Mom, I'm bored. I can't continue." So then what do I try? I try giving her, you know, protein foods and, do you want to, she got her license recently, so do you want to drive to the library and do your homework? Yeah, I think I'll do that. Or, you know, She usually comes up with that idea, though. But I think just keeping, letting go, but still keeping a loose hold.
Yeah. Well, and we'll talk more about, holding on and letting go, because we'll talk about expectations in a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a challenge, especially when they're teenagers, to figure out how to maintain that balance of support as you're trying to help them and help them to be more independent. So it's just, I know it's a challenge for a lot of you guys. All right. Any other parting thoughts from anybody before we close off for the day? If you want to continue the conversation out on the, Lori or Anne or anybody, if you want to post something out in the Facebook forum about electronics, I know there'll be other parents out there that will have maybe even other ideas, so feel free to post that out in the forum. If you want more information on executive function, there's also a couple of webinars we did on video games that would be good. And then there is some more information on the site about executive function. If you feel like you need even more information about executive function, there's a great section in homework headaches. I don't know if you have homework headaches. If you don't and you're interested in purchasing it, let me know. But it's another way to kind of get a different level of detail as well. So thank you for being here. It's a great call today. Go ahead.
This is Ellen. It sounded like there were a couple callers, my son is included, that have been dealing with depression as well. And I'd be interested in maybe getting some information about how some other, because it adds a whole another level when they have depression on top of the ADHD.
Yeah, and actually I think we have a couple of articles about that. I can ask Elaine, her husband had significant issues with depression both before and after he was diagnosed. And I know that she's written at least one blog. I can either connect you with her or post something out on Facebook and ask if you're comfortable doing that. It's just in our forum.
Okay.
But I'll also make a note. Who is this that said that? I'm sorry.
This is Ellen.
Ellen. Ellen, if you send me an email, I will track down that blog for you, if that would be helpful.
Yes.
Great. Thank you, everybody. Thanks for helping each other out today. It was a good call, and we are on in 2 weeks, so not next week. We're now on our kind of twice-a-month call, so we will meet again on the 21st at noon, East Coast time. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.